Is your club suffering from a lack of media exposure and not enough publicity? Or are you a parent of a talented child whose sporting achievements have gone unnoticed and you're wondering why? Then you need our help. At Community Sports Media Services, our mission is to allow all community sporting organisations an opportunity to promote and publicise their achievements, activities and important club information. We can produce and distribute your very own club podcast, as well as produce news content such as weekend previews and reviews, match reports, special interviews and features, as well as regular daily social media updates. Not to mention, broadcast your next match live on internet radio. To find out how we can take your club to the next level, ring us on 0402 012 716 or email communitysportsmedia@gmail.com. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, Community Sports Media Services. Don't let your club remain in the shadows of obscurity. Come out into the spotlight and shine. It's showtime.
You're listening to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Geelong Region Soccer Show. We hope you enjoy tonight's show. It will be an absolute humdinger because we've got some phenomenal guests. My name is Tonchi Prusak, and I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. And over to my right is Andrew Shears, my co-host. Andrew, how are you tonight?
Yeah, really good, thanks, Tonchi. Had a good week and, looking forward to another show.
Awesome. And in between us tonight, well, if you're tuning in by Facebook Live on the Geelong Region Soccer News Facebook page tonight, as of tonight, you will actually see, but for those that can't actually see, you might hear there is a curtain between the two of us tonight.
There is, yes.
Like literally a curtain. And I'm not talking about drapes or anything like that. I'm talking about a man who some of you might know his dulcet or heard his dulcet tones on the NPL and NPLW commentary of local games. And he's now branching out into the west of Melbourne, Steve Curtin. Good evening, Steve. Steve, what a pleasure to have you on board here for tonight.
Thanks, Tonchi. Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to be here for the first time, and taking the train up to Melbourne with you was just the start of the privilege, and it gets even better here now, so to be on the show. So yeah. Thanks very much for having us, guys.
Our community announcement, ladies, relax. He has got a very sexy voice, but the man is taken, so, you know, hands off. Andrew, why would anyone want to listen to tonight's show? What have we got in store for him?
Have we got some things on store tonight? We've got some great things in the boardroom. We've got a gentleman from Barwon Soccer Club, Colin Drain. He's going to tell us a little bit about what's going on down at Barwon.
That's not the boardroom. That's the Club Focus.
Oh, well,
we've got
Club
something
Focus,
really
yes.
excited planned for Club Focus, guys. I'm so excited.
Yes. Yeah. Also in the boardroom, though. That's, we have got a boardroom.
We do.
And we've got Councillor for the City of Greater Geelong, Kylie Grisbeck, who recorded an interview with, who's got some great things to tell us about what's going on about in the region and what the council's doing towards getting our great game.
Honestly. Yeah, and it's such a brilliant interview. She's also the secretary of Lara United FC, and so it was such a good interview that we actually had to pre-record two parts. Now, why do we have to pre-record? Well, unfortunately, Tuesday night is council night, so she did ditch us in favour of council. Like, why would you do that on earth? I'm not too sure. But having said that, you know, the lady is a saint, and she's she was very accommodating, wasn't she? Andrew, last week
fantastic.
We caught up with her, and it was a brilliant interview, so do stay tuned for that. And what else have we got?
And then finally, in our change room segment, we've got Kevin Smart from the Hoppers Crossing Club who's going to talk to us about a big day happening down on the weekend at the Hoppers Crossing Soccer Club.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge day, that, involving Geelong Rangers. And Kevin is an ex-Geelong Rangers player, so a lot of people down Geelong way will have known him. But it's great also that we are Geelong Region Soccer Show, so we are slowly branching our empire out in towards the west. We're growing. We're getting bigger.
I've always said that eventually that Geelong and Melbourne would merge and gradually Geelong would take Melbourne over. So
Greater
I think
Geelong.
It's happening.
Greater Geelong.
Exactly right.
That's
yes.
right. And we can't forget the man. We cannot forget the man. Come over here. Josh Parrish. Guys, this is Josh, and he's the he's our technical director, I was going to say. Isn't that such a football term? But a panel operator. Are we 4-3-3 tonight or 4-4-2, Josh? What do you reckon?
Look, we've got a national curriculum in place for this show. So if you guys don't follow it, there will be consequences.
I think we're a 3-1 at the moment.
make sure you're all in formation and obeying the philosophy that we've set out.
Damn it, I haven't done the sea license course. I don't know if I'm going to have to do one, otherwise I won't be able to do this. But we're going to take a little bit of a break. And when we do come back, it's the news desk and some very interesting news happening, Andrew.
There sure is, yes. So we'll take a little break and then we'll come back with the news desk.
The news desk.
Welcome back to the news desk with our new little jingle there.
Sounds fantastic. Very dramatic.
I feel very important after being let in by that. But on a very serious note, though, one of the main stories that has come out of Geelong this week, and it's not just the Geelong story, it's a national soccer story, really, is the passing of David Savinski. Mm. David Savinski, legend of the Geelong, of North Geelong, and played in the National League and Socceroos. Tonchi, you knew him as a player. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your...
Yeah, I wish I knew him as a player. No, I wasn't that good, unfortunately, no. But I did know him, yeah, definitely as an administrator. I was involved with the old Melbourne Knights in the NSL. Around about the time that he was... at the time, he was involved with Carlton, your club, Andrew. And then he was also playing at Wollongong Wolves. So the guy played at North Geelong, obviously became a legend there. Went on to Melbourne Knights... two national titles there, two national titles with the Wollongong Wolves, played at Carlton as well. He didn't make it to the Socceroos. He was one of those type of players that was just so reliable out the back. He was probably unattractive in the way he approached the game, and the legend is that he got his nickname the Shovel because he always used to kick a divot out of the ground every time he used to clear the ball. No joke, that's dead serious. Mm. And I think we heard that from Ange Zimmera last night on the night train. Josh was there, and so he was just that legendary type of old style player. Very tragic. He had been, but the way he was just a some would say maybe rough around the edges, but he was a no frills defender. And the way he approached his football is the way he approached that disease, that wretched disease. And, you know, my wife, my beautiful wife, she does work at Epworth, and he and David used to come there quite often for treatment. And she used to say, look, you know, they were saying that, you know, after a year, that basically they gave him a year when he was first diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma, which, folks, is pretty serious.
Mm.
He kicked that disease's butt right to the very end, and, you know, lived 4 years battling it. So it's an incredible, incredible, sad, but incredibly inspirational story, I think. Mm. The funeral details, I believe, Andrew, you have them?
Yeah, I do. The funeral's to be held this Friday at down in Bell Park there, the Catholic Church in Separation Street. It's what's the name of that one there? The
Holy Family.
Holy Family, that's yeah. right. So it'll be at high noon, right at midday there. Mm. So they expect that the people will be out in the streets, out on Separation Street.
Yeah, and I think the family is asking that no donations be made, that in lieu of flowers and what you're not, donations be made to the Melanoma Research Foundation or whatever it's called. But obviously there will be an opportunity there on
yes,
the day.
I'm sure they'll have envelopes there that... if you want to make a donation, yeah. I'm sure that's be a nice way to honour David. So.
Yeah. Is there anything, apart from that, anything uplifting, any uplifting news?
Well, actually, I've got one more story about David. I was hearing the address from one of the leaders down at North Geelong to the players before they went on the field on the weekend.
Oh, did you hear that? Yeah.
I did, yeah. And, you know, they're very pointed in saying that when he went out there, he was all for the team. He would play his heart out for the team. Mm. But when he came off the field, they were all mates too, and he would do anything for his mates there as well. Very, very good clubman.
Yeah. Now you brought a tweet during the week from Lou Sticker, who's involved with Western United. I got to tell this story. It was a great story.
Yep, former Carlton man as well.
Yeah, that's right. And he said, speaking of Carlton, he goes, he was in a meeting one day and one of the Carlton directors comes in. He goes, guess who I just saw? That long-haired, ponytailed defender at Melbourne Knights. He just went into a bottle shop, bought a slab, and he sculled a can just like that. And Lou goes, yep, I just signed him. And he goes, his final comment was, Sticker's final comment was, it was the best signing I ever made. And that sort of epitomised the no frills, throw your caution to the wind, that, you know, he wasn't a man of convention, I guess that's the word, Dave. Mm-hmm. He didn't like the fanfare. He just went about his whole business in a sort of a knockabout kind of a way, but at the same time it was a no-frills kind of a way. And I think that's right. What epitomised him, you know. I had the absolute privilege, along with Andy Pascalides and Ralph Barber, who was involved with this radio station in the early days, to do a co-comparing of a community benefit gig last year at the Croatian Hall there on Separation Street for David. One of the most amazing nights. One of the most amazing nights. And I tell you, anyone who's ever had any dealing with David in any way, shape or form, because he's a mad fisherman, and there was a write-up in the Geelong Advertiser about him as well, as a fisherman. He's just touched people in a way that really inspired him, you know. And I think that's what Friday hopefully will be a little bit about as well. It won't be just a sad time and a time of mourning, but it'll be a time of celebration as well.
So from all of us here at the Geelong Region Soccer Show, rest in peace, David, and we're thinking about you and your family at this time. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, another concerning thing to come out of the newsroom is we've heard that a little bit of trouble last Saturday down at Stead Park, and no reflection on the Geelong Soccer Club at all, but players leaving their stuff in the change rooms there, and apparently a lot of valuables were taken, mobile phones and wallets and this sort of thing. So what we really like to do is get the message out there that if you're playing a game, make sure that they've locked the change rooms for you, whichever club you're playing at. I think most of the clubs have got lockable change rooms, and if they haven't, make sure you take all your valuables out and don't leave them in there, and get somebody responsible to look after your stuff. So.
And it's true, and you're right. I know, because we actually put that Bay FM, or whatever you want to call it, 93.9 Bay, news story up on Geelong Region Soccer Show earlier today. And I was waiting for someone to make a comment, and they didn't. And I'm going to have a rant here. I really am going to start throwing chairs around, because that is bad. That's ridiculous. And absolutely not a reflection on the Geelong Soccer Club, because those guys do an amazing job. But, and this is the world we live in, I guess, apart from, and what happened there, that's inexcusable, and obviously, you know, someone to steal someone else's belongings, especially, you know, when they're playing. We're not exactly sure, did it happen during the NPL, the NPLW, was it juniors or anything like that?
We just know it happened on Saturday.
According to the Bay FM report. But the Bay FM report, if you had a read and scrolled down, it actually mentioned something about West Oval as well. Mm. So something happened at the footy, the AFL footy, and what was the heading? Mobile phones stolen from change room in a soccer match. You know, that's that discrimination. That's that one-sided reporting that still exists in our city. You know, like, you would have thought, oh, soccer people are the only thieves. It only happens at soccer games. But hang on a sec. Report it the way it is. All right. Mm. Be objective. Be honest. Don't now sort of what's the word that I can use that I'm not going to get beeped. But that was one of the things that really, really irked me. And if people think in Geelong, soccer is a major player, and we've got this God-given right to have front page coverage and this and that, we've still got a long way to go, people. And this is why. The beauty of, you know, a show on Football Nation Radio, on FNR Radio, we've finally got a medium that our sport, our world game, our beautiful sport can actually address some of these issues. And that is something that really I think we need to talk about at length in future episodes. But, yep, rant over. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Tonchi. You know, it may have been a rant, but certainly your points are right on the mark there. And look, we should be able to go out and play our sport and be healthy and do all that sort of thing and know that our stuff's safe. But all we can do is be a bit proactive and just make sure that, you know, you look after your stuff. There are thieves out there and, you know.
And unfortunately, it's not the first, and sadly, probably not the last time that stuff like this does happen. So we do implore all the clubs to take security seriously. This something like this happened at a Geelong Region football grand final series a few years back. And I'm not going to mention where, and I'm not going to mention any of that sort of stuff, but it was referees that were targeted at that time. Mm. So it is an issue. And little things like that, like security at grounds, and might be a little bit inconvenient for people to go around or have a designated person who's going to lock the dressing rooms. But look, I had media accreditation, and I walked into the referee's room that night to get the team sheets. Luckily, I was with an official from the Galaxy who was by my side. Hi, Ange Kasher, how are you? And it's good that I did have, and I refused to walk into a referee's room on my own. But no one asked me. All right, few people do know me by face and all that kind of stuff. But anyone could have walked into those rooms. There was no one there to sort of check your accreditation or any of that sort of stuff. So my point being is we really, really need to be careful. And it's not just one club or it's at every club, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Times we live in.
Okay, so let's maybe move on to a little bit happier news.
Yes.
if you can call it that. Last weekend's A-League Grand Final. What do you think of it, gentlemen?
I thought you were going to talk about something a little bit more positive. Steve, what did you think of the showpiece of the Australian football calendar?
I think it just all left us all feeling a bit disappointed. We were hoping for a good match, an open match, and maybe we were hoping for too much, but maybe that's too much to ask for. But obviously a lot at stake, but they could have come out a bit more aggressively during the 90 minutes, I thought, Perth Glory. And I think in the end, they might have shot themselves in the foot. And I couldn't count on the lottery of penalties two weekends in a row.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, what do you say? What do you think?
I thought it was really dull and boring. And gosh, I noticed myself playing dominoes on my phone at one stage in the middle of it.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
And I did feel for our guest last weekend, Matt Sparanovic,
who
loved to have the Perth Glory to have picked up the game just for him. And, of course, Steve Horvath was going to bring him home to Geelong if or bring him home to the West anyway.
Is
it
still on the cards?
Regardless, right?
But it may still happen. Who knows? But
For me, the best thing was the Geelong element. Yeah, and there was a beautiful tribute to Dave Savinski prior to the game.
Yes.
There was a great tribute to another one of our guests last week, Adrian Lael, which is probably a little bit off camera, but Adrian did announce his senior retirement, A-League retirement, and they did acknowledge that along with about half a dozen other players that were retiring. So that was good. That was beautiful. Great to see Matty Sparanovic. You know, they're playing, and he looked pretty good there in the back. Geelong boy, who we had on the show last week. That's the stuff that makes you really proud, and it was really, really good to see that.
But it was nice to see Matty Sparanovic out there and not Laura's big brother.
Yeah. but yeah, look, all jokes aside, the game itself is it the A-League really needs a breath of fresh air. Hopefully, it's Geelong to the rescue next year with Western United, and for the next 2 years at least, I'm going to call them a Geelong club. and I think that can't wait. That can't come soon enough. And MacArthur Bulls or MacArthur FC, whatever they're called, I think they're also going to shake things up north of the border. So, you know, I think I can't come soon enough, I tell you what. But you know, me and my brother who sent in a nice little comment, hey, Rads, how are you? Is this the Geelong version of the three Diegos? Well, hang on a sec, we need a fourth. Are you putting your hand up? But me, him and a couple of other mates were just texting each other. And I was trying to remember who the hell Shannon Grant looked like. And when the tweet the SMS came through and says, Joe Dirt, I was gone. Oh, that mullet, oh, man, that was 15 years too late.
It was a bit, yeah.
Anything
now,
else?
That's all I have for the news desk. So I think we're going to take another little bit of a break there. And after the break, we'll be back with our first guest.
Club Focus
with the Byron Soccer Club.
Club Focus.
This this evening, we're going to have...
Everywhere we go!
Join in if you know the words. As you can tell by the club's song, that was just performed by, I think, the club's under-14s. The subject of our club focus segment this week is the Barwon Soccer Club. And on the line joining us is the treasurer of the Barwon Soccer Club, Mr. Colin Drain. Welcome, Colin.
Hi, Tomsey. How are you going?
Now, can you confirm, was that the under-14s Barwon team singing that song? It was on, I think it was on the recent club podcast.
I think it was from one of the last year's under-14 teams.
Yeah, that was brilliant. And that's what captures a club, you know, when kids, you know, sing their club song with gusto. That was brilliant. Now, Colin, the Barwon Soccer Club is one of the real giants of the Geelong soccer community, fielding teams in pretty much all ages and age divisions and gender divisions. Mate, tell us a bit about what is happening at the Southern Suburbs-based mega club.
Oh, it's been another big year in terms of numbers. I think we've hit about 430 at the moment. We're still getting inquiries, you know, almost every day from all age groups. Unfortunately, we're pretty much full again, as we have been over the last couple of years. We're just experiencing continued growth across probably most of the age groups and sexes. Probably a little bit down on numbers with the junior girls this year, we've noticed, which has probably been reflected across other clubs as well, judging by the number of teams in the competition. But certainly from the mini roos upwards, you know, it's just booming. It's fantastic.
Do you reckon AFL women's footy is having an effect on that? Because we saw this year that there was no under-16 girls division. So did that have some sort of an effect?
I think it must be. I mean, we've not had, I guess, direct feedback from the girls or parents themselves. But, yeah, just looking at other clubs, and I've spoken to a few other people around the game, and, yeah, it's definitely a competition for the girls' attentions on a Saturday.
Colin Shizzy here. How are you going?
Hi, mate. Yeah, good, thanks.
You also might get a question here from Steve Curtin, who's sitting beside me as well. But first of all, what I'd like to ask, we want to know a little bit about you. How long have you been at Barwon, and what made you first get involved with the club there?
I moved over from the UK almost 10 years ago now, and pretty soon after, I took my boy along. He was like 5 or 6 at the time, through my brother-in-law, who was the ex-Division 1 coach many years ago. I just got involved with coaching mini roos under 7 level. Stayed with that age group all the way through till last year. Took on the treasurer role about 5 years ago now. Was kind of pushed into it at an AGM, and haven't looked back since. It's a massive part of my life now, and met so many amazing people around the club, and just love getting involved. Really enjoyed the coaching side of it, but also enjoying the financial and now doing some work with the social media, the Facebook page and the website, getting involved with sponsorship, so meeting sponsors there. It's just been an amazing experience, and fortunately I have an understanding employer who lets me spend so much time devoted to the club during the season.
Who's the boss? A shout out to the boss.
Mr. Greg Mills from Rendine Constructions.
Very good club sponsor there.
Colin, Steve Curtin here. Thanks for joining us. What does it take to get the Barwon Soccer Club on the park each week? You must have an incredible volunteer network to bring it all together.
Yeah, it just seems to get harder and harder every year. You know, we've got an amazing committee. There's 8 of us on the committee here. On top of that, we've got about 40 coaches or assistant coaches, all the team managers that help. We've got people that help in the canteen, sorting out uniforms for all the teams at the start of the season. Andrew Conti with the sponsorships, getting the money in from there, which is a big help. So we've managed to fit out all the teams with new shirts this year with the sponsors on the shirts, which makes them look and feel the part when they step onto the pitch.
That's excellent. Shout out to all the volunteers that do a tremendous job at Barwon Soccer Club.
Also, mate, a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Female Football Week, and your Division 1 women's team were part of the curtain raiser there down at GMHBA Stadium. With the club, has it really put in to get the involvement of so many women, has it just sort of organically happened, or do you have a female-friendly strategy that's got so many girls and women into the club playing the game?
I think it's organic in the main, but we've had a number of strong female organisers, volunteers on the committee over the last 5, 10, 15 years. People like Roseanne Vagnoni and Sarah Harper and Sharon Gibbons and Elise Cook now as well.
Right. If you're listening, Roseanne Vagnoni, good evening to you. I've known Roseanne for about 25 years or so.
Yeah. So I think, when people bring their kids along and they see, a club, not just us, all the clubs in the region that have strong female presence in the committee, the boardroom. We've had female coaches, people like Emma Ray, who's, a very well-known local soccer female player. It just encourages, I think, the younger girls, the women, to bring their friends along. They're always made to feel welcome and part of the club. There's a very good spirit between the male and the female side of the seniors group. So I think, as well as growing organically, we have done a few things well over the years to encourage more women and girls to take up the sport.
I'm being a bit of a mucking around in the studio. I think I've just been caught out on Facebook Live. Silly me.
Lucky Colin, on the serious one, eh?
On a serious note, that's right. On a serious note, mate, your top-level men's team in State 5, obviously, they are sitting on top of the ladder after last week's amazing performance over the previous competition leaders, Keilor Wolves. That's amazing. Dale Harris continues to do some great things there, but was a hat-trick by Sean Mahan. Were you at the game?
Yeah, I was there. I've only just got my voice back today from shouting on Saturday. It was a fantastic game to watch and obviously a great result for the boys.
Well, I mean, I've spoken to Dale quite a fair bit this year, and something that we also did during the club podcast that was for Barwon Soccer Club. And there's a real sense of professionalism that has really entered every kind of pore of Barwon Soccer Club, but especially with the men's senior team, and they're doing so well. Where does the club see itself over the next, say, 5 to 10 years? Do you guys have real aspirations to one day be playing at WNPL at NPL level or even WNPL level, I suppose? And being that southern region representative in the elite competition in Victoria?
I'm not going to speak for everyone at the club, but certainly, we're in the middle of a strategic plan process, which is going to set out where our members want us to take the club over the next 3 to 5 years. So we've put out a survey a couple of months ago and we've got all the responses from that. We're now working through the next stage of putting our plan in place. In the meantime, each year we're trying to do things better and better, be more professional across all areas of the club, give the kids and the adults a better experience. Obviously they can look at the success of the men's team. And of course, if you speak to Dale, he'll want to take the team as far as he can. So it's something that we want to back him with and meet his ambitions, for that particular team. But at the same time, we've got 30, 40 other teams that we have to take into account as well, what their needs and ambitions are. So, as I said, we're just trying to put a good foundation in place to encourage more talented youngsters to come to the club, trying to get them better coached every year. Obviously, this year we saw a number of the boys go to the Geelong and North Geelong NPL sides again. So we're obviously doing things the right way. In the future, you know, we'd love to see our boys and girls have the opportunity to play at a higher level locally, whatever form that may take. We'll have to wait and see what happens with the structural changes over the next year or two. But yeah, going back to Dale's side, you know, he's trying to encourage a lot of younger players to come back who've played for us in the past and obviously might not be getting the opportunities they hope for elsewhere, and they can come back here and see that they have got an opportunity to play at the moment in State League 5 if things go well this season. I think there's only one promotion spot up for grabs. Still two-thirds of the season left to go and a lot of away games to go yet. We've played six home, won all six, but lost our two away games so far. So there's a bit of work to be done over the remainder of the season before we can start looking at what we want to do in the years going ahead.
Sure. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is I think one of your big challenges of the club is Grovedale Reserve and trying to keep it fit for play during the winter months. Now, I was up there last Saturday afternoon for the Div 2 women's game and the place looks fantastic at the moment. It's in excellent condition, but, hey, it's only May at the moment and we know what it will be like in probably a month's time. Have you got some strategy in place to sort of cope with the amount of traffic that the two main fields are going to take on?
We've got a few strategies in place. Obviously, we've looked at the fixtures this year. We've asked the FE to reallocate some of the games onto the far pitch to balance the load on the two pitches, the main grass pitches. So we hope a more even spread of games will help. We've been quite lucky with the weather so far, but as you said, you know, a month or two's time, it could be a bit more of a struggle. We've got the synthetic pitch, which gets used almost every night during the week for training. Ideally, we'd love more space, and you know, we've had very preliminary discussions with the council about how we can move forward and have a plan in place for finding more training and playing surface. Obviously, it's going to come down to budget and political ambitions of the local councillors. But yeah, last year we had some training sessions away from Grovedale Reserve. We utilised Belmont Common on a number of occasions when the weather was not kind to us, and we might have to do the same again. But obviously, ideally, you know, we always want the players to be at home when they're training as well. But with, as I said, over 400 players wanting to train twice a week, it's a very, very difficult balancing act.
Now, Colin, we're going to have to sort of wind it there, but before we go, our co-host here, Stephen's got a question to ask you, and it's a doozy of a question.
Yeah, thanks for the insights, Colin. But before we let you go, the second edition of the Geelong All Abilities Football League kicks off this weekend. Barwon are once again involved in it.
Yep.
What were your experiences from the first season last year, and what, as a club, are you expecting from the new season?
Yeah, well, it was, a fairly short season last year. So we're hoping to see it grow and have more participants and rounds this year. Last year I was involved a couple of times. The main guy who was looking after the players last year was Ashley Dafter, who is going to be involved again this year. But yeah, on a couple of occasions I helped Ash out, and it was just a fantastic program to be involved in. You know, I was down at the Drysdale Hub one Saturday morning, got involved in the game, you know, just had a great, great time with the players there. So we're really looking forward to being involved again. And obviously when it comes to Barwon, we'll be making a real effort to get people along to watch, meet the players, make them feel part of the club. You know, they've got shiny new kits that we're going to be giving out this week with the Gen U and TAC logos on them. So thanks to them for their continued support.
It's really a great concept, that one there. Now, I am going to have to wind you up a little bit there, Colin, because we are getting the nod here that we're running out of time a bit. But I'd really like to thank you for coming on the show tonight on FNR Radio for the Geelong Soccer Show. Really wish you all the best for the rest of the season for the mighty Bowen Army as well.
No, thanks for having me. It's been a good experience. Hopefully we'll make it a bit more of a regular occurrence when it comes to the podcast. We're still looking at ways that we can get the Barbon podcast more of a regular feature.
As long as we can not get Dale Harris too much on, you know.
We don't want that.
Yeah. And you can have Ashley Dafter in whenever he wants.
Colin Drain, Sharon Gibbons, anyone, just not Dale. No, Dale's a legend. He's a great guy. Colin, thank you very much for joining us tonight, and all the very, very best to Bowen Soccer Club for the rest of the year.
You're welcome, Tonchi. Thanks very much, guys.
The Boardroom.
Welcome back to the Geelong Region Soccer Show here on FNR Football Nation Radio. We've just listened to Colin Drain from Bowen Soccer Club in our Club Focus. And now, in the boardroom, it's time for a very, very insightful interview that we had to pre-record, for obvious reasons, with Councillor Kylie Grisbeck.
In this week's The Boardroom segment, we've had to do a special pre-record because a person that we're speaking to is a lady who really needs no introduction in the wider Geelong community. And she's unavailable on a Tuesday night. She's got her finger in so many pies, it's just incredible. She's a politician, a community activist. She works at one of the city's biggest government departments that has supported football in a massive way. And she's also a club secretary and, most importantly, a proud soccer mum. With great pleasure, we welcome Lari United FC secretary and City of Greater Geelong councillor Kylie Grisbeck to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. Kylie, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Kylie, I'd like to start first of all with your role on council. So you're elected to Geelong Council as a representative of the Windermere Ward, and it encompasses a large part of the northern parts of Geelong, real hotbed of the local football community. Now, it must be a really big responsibility, especially taking into account it encompasses some of the most, what we call disadvantaged parts of the city.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Look, it is a really big responsibility, and the Windermere Ward does go from Ballyang and Anarchy to Finesford, down to North Geelong, and all the way down to Avalon. It is a hotbed of football and many other things as well. I don't like the words disadvantage. I say we've got many different challenges in our space. And what I like best is that we've got so many cultures, so many beliefs, so many different things going on. We're a real multicultural mix, and that's probably the best thing that makes up our community, and I suppose I'm a little biased.
Mm. Our sport, football or soccer or whatever you want to call it, is really thriving up in the north. Seems to be one of the sports, especially as far as the juniors is concerned, that's bucking the trend and providing many of the city's youth in the northern suburbs a chance to get off the streets. So when I say bucking the trends, a lot of the other clubs struggle for numbers, but we struggle to cope with the numbers. What are some of the good things going on in the north as far as the council is concerned, just in general?
Yeah, look, I agree with you. The growth of football, yes, the round ball football, which is the one I refer to as football, in the northern parts is extreme. You know, I hear from clubs that are struggling with the growth almost every week. I think Victoria as a whole is experiencing the enormous growth, and Geelong's no different. Some of the things that council is trying to do is keep up with the infrastructure. Some of the things I'm most proud of, though, is the Leisure Time Centre, the synthetic pitch there was a $2 million investment, and it's booked out, and it's really good that people in the north are using that.
I don't like it. That's where I got an ankle injury and I was out for 12 weeks.
Besides that, look, I think that a couple of the other things that we're really proud of, you know, in Geelong we've got two hubs of mini-roos soccer, north and south. That shows the strength of that. And look, one of my sons is coaching an under-sevens girls team this year, co-hosting it with a friend of his, and the amount of kids in mini-roos is absolutely exciting across the board. So we're really excited about that in the north.
Now, just recently, it was announced that the areas of the north and the west of Geelong, they're set to become massive population growth areas. What's the potential of these new suburbs to be in terms of our sport?
Look, they're northern and western growth areas. It's in the, for those that don't know, it's in the Batesford and sort of the Lovely Banks area. We're set to add about the size of Ballarat to Geelong. That's about 110,000 people in Geelong over the next 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, the growth is huge. But with that comes enormous opportunities for regional facilities and local sporting infrastructure. So, look, Eddie Contell, a fellow councillor who's soccer mad, and I, we're having discussions now with the city about what do those regional facilities look like. I'm advocating, as I've put it on the record, for a regional soccer facility, a dream look of a possible 5,000-seat stadium with a couple of square pitches around it would be fantastic and something that, you know, I think is much needed. We could even host A-League games, some of the NPL derbies. I went to the derby, the NPL derby recently held at North Geelong, and what an amazing game that would be to be able to be hosted at a facility.
Absolutely.
Like that. I think, but it also would be great to hold mini-roos. It's got no boundaries. So, look, I'm meeting with Football Victoria over the next few weeks to talk about and ask for their help in advocating for such a facility.
Fantastic. Well, Howard Glover Reserve, I guess, is the closest thing we have to what one could call a regional centre.
Closest thing we have to Antarctica Sunday afternoon, too.
And I say closest because, let's face it, Andrew, you're right. At the moment, it is nothing more than a derelict, underutilised and poorly flood-leaked ground. However, we do believe there are master plans afoot to complete something of a, or major plans to complete a master plan, which would see the East Geelong ground upgraded. Kylie, can you give us any information with regards to that?
Yeah, sure. At this point, the city is in partnership with Football Victoria. We're doing a co-funded facility plan for Howard Glover. We recognise that it is the base of football in Geelong at the moment. The objective is to identify upgrades to allow for greater programming and participation at the reserve. Look, we're currently working on a plan that should be completed by the end of June, so it's not that long away. And then that'll help us talk to funding bodies, governments, etc., to get those master plan off the cards.
Mm-hmm. Now, in all honesty, though, we've seen about 7 or 8 or so pitches come online in the last year, and we had a similar amount in 2017 as well. But just in the local region, so, you know, things are really happening here at the moment. It must be hard for a council to keep up with the growth, also for council to be able to accommodate all the needs and requests of the other sporting groups as well. What can soccer do better, or what can it come up with that puts it in a better spot for council to be able to do things for us?
Yeah, good question. Look, from a council perspective, I think having Football Victoria's facilities plan is it is helpful, but that's at a very high level. So it says, you know, we need 27 odd pitches across Geelong. What look, from the AFL model, I've seen some really good things around the ground by ground audit. So I'd really love to see the ground by ground audit, so council can then look at that and make the decisions based on what we actually need. One of the things that I'm getting lobbied for, and rightly so, I'm a politician, is that from all clubs are saying they don't have the room to grow at this point. They don't have the facilities they need. Lighting is one of the most important topics in all of Geelong at the moment. And being a winter sport, that's something that we have to, that is a big barrier to winter sport. So one of the things that we're saying in the proposed budget is we've got an increase in the community infrastructure grants to $3 million. That's up from $1 million last year. So we're investing in infrastructure. What we're saying also is we've changed the policy so private clubs can now apply. So we see the benefits of those clubs like a Bell Park, like a North Geelong. They're on private land, but they offer the community the same service as any other club around the region. Mm-hmm. And we're really proud.
Or Breakwater Eagles, and they were in the news recently where the Polish club was trying to get pokies or something like that. That was denied, and that's another club that could really do well with funding upgrades.
Yes, agreed. And they're on private land, so they can apply just the same as any other club or entity across the region for infrastructure. So we've increased it by $2 million, and we've allowed those clubs to now apply for full funding the way that any other club would. So we're really proud of that.
Interesting conversation here we're having. We are going to take a little break now, but when we return, we will continue our rather interesting chat with our special guest, Kylie Grisbeck, and discuss her role as secretary of Lara United FC, as well as being a proud soccer mum. Welcome back to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. We're talking with Councillor Kylie Grisbeck from the Geelong City Council, but now she's going to change her superhero costume, and she is now Kylie Grisbeck, Secretary of Lara United FC and soccer mum. Kylie, we spoke about the great growth in the first part of this interview, in general, but particularly up in the northern suburbs. And speaking of clubs in the northern suburbs, Lara United is one of those clubs that has experienced an exponential growth, particularly over the last couple of years. Tell us, how is the club coping with it all?
Let me just say, first of all, as the secretary of Lara United, I'm a big fan of the game itself. I advocate for soccer across the region with both my hats on. Look, back to Lara. We've experienced massive growth, but what I say, it's opportunity. It's opportunity to get more people involved in this sport, and that's what we're really passionate about. We've got a great committee and an even better supporter base. They're demanding but understanding, and we want to create the best atmosphere that we have for our club to grow. And as our president, Aaron Pettman, says, we're trying to achieve greatness. That's what we're doing out at Lara at the moment.
Absolutely.
First of all, Kylie, you look fantastic now in your beanie and your big Lara parka. Very nice. Now, what does a club like Lara United, that is growing so much and so quickly, mostly need to do right now? It's got more volunteers, more sponsors, more development of the football operation side of things. You just mentioned about the club vision, or better said, what is the club's short or medium-term goals?
Yeah, look, I think as a club, one of the things we most need is lights. We don't have any lights at all. Look, but we do have amazing supporters. So Bisnella Developments is our major sponsor. We're the recipient of the female-friendly change rooms by the grant by the state, Hi John Erin, and the council, which the application was made before I became a councillor, but it's very exciting that I'm being able to deliver that as part of being a councillor. And look, by the way, congrats to our amazing football female administrator of the year, Beck Horrocks. We're really proud of her at Lara United.
We had her on last week's show, and she was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, thank you, and we're really proud of her. And look, we have a vision at the club about, you know, our vision is United We Stand. But we want to provide a family-friendly environment that allows the players to get the best out of themselves, both on and off the pitch. Short-term goals is about having a place where everybody can come. We're really proud to say we've got an all-abilities team last year and this year as well. And look, we realise that we're a grassroots club, and sometimes we can't supply the teams for our players when they want to take their football to a better direction, a higher direction. That's why we need to partner with clubs like Geelong and North Geelong and give our players a pathway into NPL. And that's why we shouldn't be scared of these clubs. We should actually embrace it and be part of them. So that's something as Lara's taking that direction.
On that note, Lachie McGrath's an ex-Lara United junior, and I saw him last year covering some of Corio's games, and then this year at North Geelong in the NPL. He's brilliant. The kid's brilliant, and it's great to see that he started off at a club like Lara United.
Yeah. I mean, the whole McGrath family we're very supportive of them from Lara United's perspective. We've got some of the brothers doing this State League 5 administration at the moment. What we're really proud of is we've got some junior players playing at North and playing at Geelong in NPL that we will support. We will support them still as Lara United players playing up, and that's where we keep an eye on them. And hopefully when they've finished their NPL career, they'll come back to Lara and play.
Absolutely.
There are from a point of view too, that clubs need to see not so much that they're losing players to the NPL side, but they're developing players for those NPL
sides.
Right.
We're
a little bit the same down at Drysdale.
Definitely. There are indeed some exciting things happening down at Lara Recreation Reserve, especially with the fantastic new club rooms that were supposed to be open last weekend, but have been put back a little. Tell us more about what the supporters, players and indeed visitors to Lara United will be able to enjoy once everything is complete.
One of the things that we obviously with the female-friendly change room, so the ability to have two lots of change rooms going at once is really important. One of the things that I love is that we're going to have a section of our space available for kids and babies to come to watch their parents play soccer. Mothers, fathers, be the ability to call it home, we're really excited about, but a place for us to provide a space for those family members as well.
Now, apparently also there's a master plan currently being finalised in regards to Lara Recreation Reserve. Where are we with that? What's the next step? And should we put our next priority onto that? Or what should we do to develop the facility?
Yep, that's right. So Lara Recreation is currently being assessed under a master plan. All the facets of the reserve are going to be consulted on, including, you know, the tennis and the scouts. What we'll want to wait to see is what the community consultation will determine a priority outcome. But the good thing is that once we've got a plan, we should be able to execute that without delay. So that means money's in the next budget because you've got a plan, a progress report, prioritisation's already done. Let's just get on and do it.
Whilst we're on that subject, I know Corio Soccer Club, I think, also doing something similar with Hume Reserve. Are clubs doing enough of that type of thing? Are they, particularly the clubs that are on council land, are they doing enough to try and push through from their own end master plans of their own reserves and things like that?
I think it's a 50-50 thing. I think we need the support from the clubs to tell us that we need to do it, but we also need the support of council to actually go out and proactively contact those clubs to say, hey, what we would like to do is do a master plan so that we can envisage your growth. And that looks in the next, you know, 10 years' time.
Now, like many clubs, it's a bit of a family affair involved in the football community. Your dear husband, Paul, is so heavily involved in the club. He's the junior vice president. You also have a couple of sons playing as well. Cody is one of your sons. And I'm told he actually went out and pretty much single-handedly attracted enough mates and mates of mates and secured a boys under-17s team for this year. As a soccer mum, geez, it must make you pretty proud.
I'm extremely proud. And look, my husband took on the VP role to ensure that our juniors succeed and to grow the participation at Lara. He also does sponsorship and equipment and all of those sorts of things that we all do.
Does he do anything around the house?
Actually, he does all of that too. So I can't deny that. Look, my son, I'm pretty biased, but he's an amazing young man. He's managed to pull that team together so that because he wanted to play at Lara for Lara in the under-17s competition. So he pulled that together. And look, the bunch of kids in that under-17 team are a really amazing group of kids, and the coaches are really good. So I'm hoping they're going to go a long way this year.
Finally, Kylie, are there any last words you'd like to say to the wider football community here in Geelong on the Geelong Region Soccer Show, and particularly maybe those from some of the other wards as well, south of the Bowen, etc.?
Yeah. Look, I want the Geelong soccer community to know that whilst I have a finger in the Lara United pie, my focus is to grow soccer in Geelong and give it a political voice to fight for our fair share of the funding of facilities to match the growth in soccer that we're experiencing across Australia. So my message is keep doing what you're doing. I'm there to help, and shows like yours are proof that we have the right mix in Geelong. So thanks to you guys for having me on.
Oh, shucks.
Kylie, it's been a real pleasure for us having a chat to you. You've really, really enthralled us with the different insights that you've had into the world of Geelong Council, as well as everything that's happening in your own club at Lara United. We wish you the very best in the rest of the season and the remainder of your time as a councillor at the City of Greater Geelong. But really, thank you.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Kylie.
The Change Rooms.
And welcome back to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Radio. Now, this week in the Change Room segment, we are speaking to a former player and now administrator who knows the Geelong Sea quite well. He once played for the Geelong Rangers, and on this Saturday, his old club will be opponents as well as special guests to what promised to be a phenomenal day down at the Hoppers Crossing Soccer Club. Past players, sponsors, fans... it's going to be a big day at the Grange Reserve at Hoppers Crossing. We're speaking about Kevin Smart, who was kind enough to join us on the phone tonight. Kevin, welcome to the Geelong Region Soccer Show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Kevin, it's Tonchi here. When we generally talk about past players, we sometimes refer to those relics of yesteryear, you know, the true fossils who love to talk about the good old days when football was real football. You know, a Siggy and a Stubby at halftime. Now, I guess, in a way, you don't really belong to that generation, do you? Because it wasn't that long ago that you were playing up at Myers Reserve. In fact, on Saturday, there will still be a few Rangers players that will be playing against Hoppers that played when you were donning the famous navy blue. Ronnie Clayson comes to mind?
Yeah, Ronnie, Colin Hamilton, Ryan Calder. I'll actually still be playing as well.
Goodness me, a few dinosaurs there.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, it should be a good day.
Well, it's going to be great. What's the weather like on Saturday?
No idea at all, to be honest. We'll worry about that when we get out there.
It never rains in Geelong anyway.
Yeah, but this is in Hoppers Crossing, different story.
Yeah, we get the old Melbourne weather down here, so it could be sunshine and then rain in 20 minutes later.
Now, this is the Geelong Region Soccer Show, so we want to hear about what your experiences were like when you were playing back at Rangers.
Yeah, it was good. Enjoyed the time there. They just got promoted to State 2. Robbie Nogler was coaching, and the boys were all welcoming. It was a good year there. It was just a little bit too far to travel, to be honest. That's the only reason I didn't stay.
Smarty, Steve Curtin here. Good to speak to you.
Blast from the past.
How you doing, bud?
Yeah, good, mate, good. Now, I remember at Hoppers you would cover just about every blade of grass out there on the Grange Reserve, and I know that you've done a half marathon. If you don't get the win this weekend, will you give up football and become a marathon runner perhaps?
Not a chance. Not a chance. Those marathons are a killer. I'd rather be playing football any day of the week.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Curtin used to play down at Hoppers Crossing, and he's telling us that he's got inside information, Kevin, that if you lose on Saturday, that you're going to be running from Hoppers Crossing all the way to Myers Reserve and back in your jocks. Is that true?
Not a chance. You won't see me running 100 metres, let alone that far.
That sounds like you've changed a bit since back in the day, mate.
Yeah, I'm 32 now, mate. You'll see on Saturday. Nice. I'll just stay in the centre of mid.
Spring chicken. Now, listen, Kev, on Saturday, friends become friends. Then after the game, they become friends again. Then they become foes and so forth and so on, you know. White line fever. Tell us what awaits all those that come to Grange Reserve on Saturday for the big past players, sponsors and fans day out. It promises to be massive.
It is a massive game. We've probably had a bit of a bad couple of weeks, picking 1 point up in 3 games. So the boys are all raring to go, and every year the boys lift because they know what it means for the club, playing in front of people that, you know, started the club, been at the club for the last 40, 50 years. It means a lot. And, we'll definitely be, we won't be taking a step back at all on the weekend, not one bit.
Now, anybody who's been involved with the two clubs over the year is probably going to be there on the day, but if they can't, the game's actually going to be broadcast live. Is that the first time a Hoppers Crossing game's been broadcast live?
I think so. I think it's definitely the first time we've been... No, actually. Sorry to do this here. Back when we used to be in the Geelong Advertiser Cup, mate, this is going back 16 years ago, I think one of our games may have been... been on live when they used to do it back 16, 17 years ago. But I think it's the first time a league game's ever been live.
There you go. In general, Kev, how are things going at Hoppers Crossing? Tell us a bit more about some of the exciting things happening at the club off the field.
So off the field, we've got this week the Past Players Day, which is immense. We'll have probably 200-300 people there. You've got JF Construction, who have sponsored some beer barrels to down there. You've got U Homes, our major sponsor, should be down there on the weekend as well. And then in the next probably 8 or 9 weeks, we're doing a bit of a raffle day and stuff like that. The juniors are coming along great. So, yeah, the club's pushing along. And in 2 years' time, we've got our 50-year anniversary, which will be an absolute massive year for the club as well.
Have numbers generally gone up or have they stayed the same? And how are the juniors looking, the female side of things at the club? All of those aspects. Veterans, is there a veterans team there?
Not at the moment. The veteran team's taking a year or two off because we're sort of in between age of the guys that were playing are getting a little bit older. They used to start off with 25 players and struggled to get 11 out there on the weekend. As you get older, the injuries sort of happen. The junior side's going incredible. We're actually at capacity on our ground, so we're trying to work something out with council there, because I think we've got 400 to 500 juniors actually at the club at the moment. Wow. And the women's side, I've actually stepped in to coach the women's team now as well. So, yeah, doing a bit of everything at the moment. We're in state one, and, yeah, going ahead from there.
It's not a bad quality women's team. I saw them play in a pre-season match this year, and, yeah, they go quite well.
Now, yeah, we've lost this.
Sorry.
Yeah, keep going.
So just as a final question, these sort of days can't be put together without sponsors. Going to give you a chance to plug a few of them. So who are some of the sponsors that will be behind the club for Saturday's big day out?
So you've got guys like Andrew Favour from JF Constructions, who sponsored the day. You got Patrick and the guys from New Homes, who are a major sponsor. Khalil Pierce will be down there on the weekend as well. Guys like Ills from Smart Plumbing. I'll plug myself, Kev from Smart Deck. You know, we couldn't do it without our sponsors. You've got guys like Platinum, 12-round boxing, all the guys like that. And then we couldn't do it without the guys like Jared Redman, who's been Jared Redman, Doyle, John Tal, Grubo. These guys have been behind their club and running this for the last 7 years. My wife, Jess, has been helping this year as well. Even Mixed Meat and Poultry have, teamed up with Mohorts to do a all-day Scottish breakfast rolls, because both clubs do have a British background. So that's a squared sausage, black pudding, tatty scones, bit of specialty for the weekend as well. So, without people like that behind the club, any club, we can't do the things we do. And we do really appreciate our sponsors and our volunteers and everyone that's going to be down there, you know, putting the time behind the bar, behind the canteen, doing all the little things. It's those things there that make community clubs run the way they do.
Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you, Kevin. We do have to go, but before we do, anything else you'd like to tell our listeners ahead of the club's big day out on Saturday?
Just make sure you get down there, support local football, support this radio station, which is doing wonders for, you know, the local community. Also, Steve Taylor, I think his name is. We've got live music on Saturday night. I think that's his name. Hopefully I've got it right. And just tell Ronnie, sorry when I kick you on the field, but we'll have a beer afterwards.
excellent. Good on you, mate. Thank you very much. And certainly we look forward to hearing some great things about Saturday.
Beautiful. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Kev.
Kevin Smart from Hoppers Crossing Soccer Club. Guys, we've come to the end. We've really, really stretched the friendship out today. Thank you to all of our listeners, to all of our viewers who have been patiently waiting to us. We just had so much on today. We've gone a little bit over time. But, Steve, very, very quickly, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on board. But you're heading in a couple of weeks somewhere very, very exciting. And this is the announcement that we're going to make. But hopefully we might even be able to chat to you from a far-flung destination in an exotic location. Tell us more, mate.
Well, that's right, Tonji. I will be off to the Women's World Cup in France very soon, and I look forward to speaking to you from France and giving you some updates from the Women's World Cup.
There you go, Andrew. We've got about 3,500 witnesses that have been tuning into this live. Incredible ratings there.
Exactly right.
That is awesome, mate. We wish you all the very, very best.
Who knows? We might be able to double his fee now and twice nothing.
Yeah, you never know. But all the best, and hopefully the Matildas can come back with the gold.
Absolutely right.
Would be good.
And before we go, I just want to give a bit of a shout-out to my eldest son, Zach, who's not real well at the moment. Love you very much, mate, and we're all thinking of you.
All the very best to Zach. And to everyone else, until next week, Tuesday next week, make sure if you haven't been able to listen properly to this show, there is a full podcast that will be on air, made available not that long after the show. You've been listening to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. Thank you. Good night. You're listening to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio.